In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to take the readings that we heard on Sunday, and I'm going to try to open them up by the grace of God. I need the grace of God to open them up, because without the grace of God, nothing happens. Come, Holy Spirit, come to me and come to those who listen. Be for us the revealer of the Word of God. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do something new in each one of us. The church gave us the 22nd chapter of Genesis, but it didn't give us the whole story. So I'm reading the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and I'm going to give you the whole story. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham. And he said unto Abraham, Behold, where are you? And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So what's happening? What's happening? I want you to know that Abraham is surrounded by the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and they are offering their firstborn to Moloch. So it seems like, you know, God wants Isaac, but we know the story. We know the story. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, he saddled his donkey, and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and the clave, the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder to worship and come again to you. Remember, worship is always sacrifice. So Abraham believes that God wants to sacrifice Isaac. Why? Because all the Amorites, Hittites, and Jebusites, and all the other ites, they sacrificed their firstborn. So we go on. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? I'm going to read that again. Abraham took the wood of the offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire, behold the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I think Abraham's heart dropped right into his shoes that day. Where is the lamb? The lamb is Isaac. The lamb is Isaac. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son, the son which is your only son from me. Now, we see that God doesn't want blood sacrifice. He sent his son to do the final blood sacrifice, that Jesus Christ, what God did not require of Abraham was the blood of Isaac. God required of his son the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus would be our entrance into wholeness and into the kingdom of God. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of Isaac. And Abraham called the name of the place, and it gives the name Jehovah Jireh. It is said this day that the Lord shall be seen, or the Lord will provide. And the Lord provides the ram in the thicket. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, By myself have I sworn, for because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as many as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of your enemies. And in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. We praise you, God. We bless the children of Abraham, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We see obedience is exactly what God was looking for. It seemed right to do it, because all the other pagans, they were offering their children to Moloch. Why not the true God offer Isaac? But God showed Abraham he did not want the blood of Isaac. He wanted the obedience of Abraham. Obedere, obedience, means to listen to. To listen to, that God spoke through the angel, and Abraham did exactly what God wanted him to do. We see Isaac going up the mountain with the wood on his shoulder, just like Jesus. But what God did not require of Abraham, which was the blood of Isaac, he required of himself, which was the blood of Jesus. And that blood of Jesus would end all sacrifices. It is the sacrifice that heals us, and the sacrifice that gets us into glory. That Jesus Christ shed his blood, the righteous one for the unrighteous. That's this 22nd chapter of Genesis. Then the second reading, let's look at the psalm response. I believed even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. Yes, are you greatly afflicted today? Believe. Surrender to Jesus. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. Yes. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. Yes. You have loosed my bonds. To you will I offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will repay, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Oh yes, it's all about Jerusalem, you know. Even today, it's all about Jerusalem. The second reading was from Romans. Romans 8:31-34. If God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to hear today that God is for you today. How do I know that? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for all of us, how will he not also give us all things along with Jesus? God is for you today. What are you feeling today? You're feeling alienated? I'm telling you today, God is for you. He did not spare his own son so that we might have eternal life. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? Is it God who acquits? How does he acquit? Through the blood of Jesus. Who will condemn? Who will condemn? Christ Jesus? Of course not, for he died for us, or rather was raised for us, who also is at the right hand of God right now, and he making intercession for us. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. God is for you today. He is not against you. You might think all these terrible things have happened to you, but you know what? To those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good. And when it says all things, it means all things. So we don't have to be afraid today. We don't have to live in torment today. We can live in peace because God is for us. He sent Jesus to shed his blood for us. And the same Jesus intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. You have a prayer partner today. If you belong to the Father through Christ Jesus, you have a prayer partner today, and it's Jesus at the right hand of the Father. I'm looking at Mark 9, verse 2 to 10. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. They went up to Mount Tabor, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. What happened? This is the glory of God. Then Elijah appeared to them, the prophet, along with Moses, the law, and they were conversing with Jesus. What are they talking about? They are talking about his departure. When did this take place? We're going to find out in a couple of minutes. And Peter said in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say because they were terrified. This took place in either September or October, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents. Let us make three tents. He's saying, you know what, I can't deal with his glory. I want to deal with making a tent. Three tents. I can deal with that. But right now I'm scared out of my wits and I want to do something I know how to do. I can build three tents. I can do that. But this glorious presence of God scares me. This glorious presence of God scares me. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. I tell you, I want that cloud to cast a shadow over you and me today, because the shadow of that cloud is the glory of God. This is my beloved Son. A voice came from the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but only Jesus. Only Jesus. Who else do they need to see? Moses and Elijah were gone. Moses and Elijah are the law and the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So they only looked up and saw Jesus. Who else do we need? We don't need anyone else. We look up and see Jesus. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone except when the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. They have no idea. They have no idea. But you know what? When they came down, you know what they faced? A child that was epileptic, that was filled with demons. And the apostles could not cast out the demons. And Jesus said, O faithless generation. And Jesus cast out the demons out of that child, and he was in good health. You see, the transfiguration is the sweetness that Jesus will experience in the resurrection. But before the sweetness will come the agony in the garden. Before the sweetness will come the crowning with thorns. Before the sweetness of the resurrection will come the carrying of the cross. Before the sweetness of the resurrection comes will be the living sacrifice that Jesus offers to the Father. Living sacrifice. I'm looking now at Luke 14, and we are continuing with Luke. This is very, very beautiful. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. You see, they're into legalism. They're watching him. Rather than treating him as a guest, they're watching him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he told him and healed him and let him go. And answering them, saying, Which of you have a donkey or an ox that falls in a pit and will not pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again about these things. You see, they were looking for things to really condemn Jesus. He's not following the law. But the man with dropsy was completely healed. Jesus healed that man. They should be rejoicing that Jesus healed that man. Instead, they are legalistic. And then Jesus tells them, you know, if your ox falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take him out? Will you not pull him out? Of course you will, because that's money. That's money. Is not this man, son of Abraham, more important than an ox or a donkey? But they do not answer. Oh, they do not. They're scheming. They want to scheme against what Jesus is doing. Now, we're going to see next week the straw that broke the camel's back. Next Sunday, we're going to see the straw that broke the camel's back when they are all out after Jesus. And he put forth a parable to them. Which of you bidden when he marked and chose out the chief room, saying unto them, When you are bidden to a man's wedding, sit not down in the highest place, lest a more honorable man than you be asked of him. And he that bade you and him to come and said unto thee, Give this man your place. And you will begin to look with shame to take the lowest place. For when you are bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that bade thee come, he might say unto you, Friend, go up higher, and shalt thou have worship in the presence of them, and you shall eat with thee. In other words, you know what? When you go to a wedding, take the lowest place. I don't want to be at the head table. That's not where I want to be. I want to be with some people that I know when I go to a wedding. I'd rather be in a low place than at the head table. But he's trying to say to us, take the lowest place that maybe the man who gives the supper will invite you and say, come up higher. But if you take the highest place, he might say, there's someone more important than you here. and I want him at this place. So take the lowest place. For whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. And therefore God has exalted him and given him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. For whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Then said Jesus also to him that bade him, when you make a dinner or a supper, don't call your friends, nor your brethren, neither your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and ask you to come to them. But when you have a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you shall be blessed, for they cannot give it back to you, for you shall be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Jesus is saying, you know, when you have a reception and you're going to have a party, invite those people that never, ever would be invited. Why? Because they're not going to invite you back. You're inviting them because you care for them. This is real. This is real. We're not supposed to be inviting all these important people, but the broken, the poor, and the needy. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, everyone is broken, poor, and needy. Everyone. No matter who you talk to. So if I have this person that seems to be important in the city, I know he is broken and poor and needy. And he might not know that, or she might not know that, but I know that. But God calls us to have a party for those that not going to invite us back. And when one of them that sat at table with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said Jesus unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for everything is ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of land. I must go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house was angry and said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and into the lanes of the city, and bring here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the halt. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, into the hedges, into the byways, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We see that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus Christ goes after the broken, the poor, and the needy. Are you broken? Are you poor? And are you needy today? I'm telling you that the love of God is for you today. He who did not spare his own son, will he not grant you all things beside? Who can separate us from the love of God? No one. Why? Because he is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father today, now, as we sleep. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You know, I really need to hear from you so we can pay February's bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. May Jesus Christ look upon you and give you peace. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.